It's Tuesday, the 1st of December, 2015. Happy birthday to any listeners whose birthday it is on Tuesday, the 1st of December, 2015. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and jbizzle841. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like jbizzle841 and sponsor the podcast for one episode, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. Big thanks also go out to moneyball.com.au, Australia's only daily fantasy sports site, and if you're looking to get involved in some daily fantasy sports and you live in Australia or you live in New Zealand, Moneyball is the place to go, so make sure you're getting involved there. Weird day in the NBA. I think some interesting things happened. A couple of really good examples of things happened. I think I'll highlight them as we go during the show in terms of the way we approach fantasy leagues and the way we approach player valuing and all that sort of thing. I think there's some pretty good examples of that, which I will talk about as the show goes on. But the show hasn't even started yet, so
let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael Bolton. The monstrous line of the night, and this is a forewarning. Every single daily award comes from the one game. The monstrous line of the night is Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons. And remember, when I do give the monstrous line of the night, it is based on head-to-head leagues. Andre Drummond, 24 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. He went 10 of 15 from the field. He was also an atrocious 4 of 18 from the free throw line. Was that the worst free throw performance of the night? Probably not. We'll get down to what DeAndre Jordan did later on in that category. But Andre, you know, if you drafted Andre Drummond, you are expecting really bad free throws. You're expecting not to win that category. And if you weren't expecting not to win that category, if you were expecting to be competitive in that category, well, you were wrong. So you don't care. He could go 1 for 100 and it doesn't really impact his fantasy value because you're aware of that and you should have dealt with it. And it makes him pretty much impossible to deal with in roto leagues, as I've mentioned many times before on the program. But those counting stats and that field goal percentage is awesome. 24 and 13, 3 steals, 3 blocks. That's a great night overall from Drummond. His value is always going to be depressed on player raters and even on the Basketball Monster site. If you go and look at overall rankings, you'll see that him being way down. But all you do is on Basketball Monster, go and click that free throw percentage into the punt column. You'll see him jump up into the top 10 or top 15. And other sites don't allow you to see that. So when you look at player rater on ESPN, rank on Yahoo, he's going to be ranked really low because there's no specificity in those ranking systems that take into account that we know what his weakness is and we deal with it. And we draft a team and we put him on a team with a specific goal or a specific situation in mind. So if I had Andre Drummond in a league, which I really wish I did, I wouldn't care that he went 4 of 18. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. You know that category's done, and you revel in the other numbers that he put up, and that was superb. Those defensive stats in particular are really good, and it's great to get 24 points out of him as well on such a high field goal percentage. That is really an awesome return. Also, one turnover is pretty handy too. I mentioned that every award came from the one game. Stanley Johnson of the Detroit Pistons, he got himself the waiver wire line of the night, the young gun of the night, and the daily fantasy value play of the night. He was a $3,500 minimum salary guy on FanDuel and put up 37.5 points. I've been talking about Stanley Johnson a little bit. I mentioned him in the DFS portion of yesterday's show, saying that his minutes were trending up and he was in a really good spot for a punt option in a tournament. Hopefully you used him as a punt option in a tournament because it was a pretty good effort for him. And one thing that's becoming pretty abundantly clear this year is that if you're going up against the Houston Rockets, you can expect some pretty big fantasy nights. They are putrid. They are disinterested defensively. They are sloppy. There is a lot going on. And it is clearly not Kevin McHale's issue, even though he was fired. The same things are happening with JB Bickerstaff in charge. They are putrid. And you can't help but think there is some blame that goes towards the supposed leaders of this team with James Harden and Dwight Howard. I don't know if Ty Lawson's taken on any leadership responsibilities. You would hope he hasn't, given he's got very little ability to control his own life, let alone be able to mold and influence other players and teammates. But it hasn't been a good mix for this team. These guys, they were fantastic last year. There's a lot of talent on this team, but it's a chemistry, it's a personality, it's an off-court problem that's leading to this. I can't see any other way, because we know that these guys are talented, and it's not good. Let's go back to Stanley Johnson, though, because he was really good. He played 30 minutes off the bench. Now, I mentioned that his minutes were trending up, and it didn't really come at the expense of Marcus Morris. He played 34. Ersan Ilyasova still got his 25, which is about average, but Johnson is on the way up. 19 points for him, 4 triples, 10 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks. With the way that things are going, the minutes are going towards him. If he was a 30-minute a night guy, I'm sure he'd be a top 100 player. Do you go and add Stanley Johnson in leagues? I'd be okay adding him in a 12-team league. I think that there's something to it. I think there's something to adding him in a 12-team league and seeing how it plays out. Because it's not just a... Well, it is. It's partly we're playing the Rockets. How bad are they? Look how good we can be. But it's also that it was building to this. It was crescendoing to him putting up a really big performance. It was just little things happening. Oh, Stanley Johnson's looking a bit something. The minutes are there. Look at the scoring. Look at his defense. Like, everything was starting to come together. And he's not going to be like this all the time. That's clear. But I'm okay with going and grabbing Stanley Johnson in 12-team leagues and just seeing how it plays out. Because off the bench, as that backup wing guy, I know Stan Van Gundy wants to give him the minutes and he wants him to be ready. And if he's starting to give him minutes in producing like this, maybe he is ready. And maybe Van Gundy thinks the same thing. So Stanley Johnson is someone I'm looking at in 12-team leagues to see if I can scoop him up anywhere. On the other side of things, Terrence Jones played 15 minutes all in the first half, which is, that's pretty good in the first half. The first half only runs 24 minutes. So if he played 15 minutes in the first half, you think, okay, maybe he's going to get 30 minutes off the bench. That's pretty decent. But no, he didn't play the second half at all. He put up 3 points and 3 rebounds. I said it on yesterday's podcast. So if you haven't listened to that yet, I'll say it again. And I've said it for about the last 3 years. He's not a good player. He is just not good. I had him pretty high in the rankings this year because I thought he's going to get 30 minutes a night and his game is really fantasy friendly. But just because you've got a fantasy-friendly game doesn't mean you're a good player. I had it in my head for a long time that the Rockets don't like this guy. They don't like him. They don't want him to be their cornerstone power forward, their starter moving forward. But they were pretty hamstrung coming into the season. I couldn't see Capella and Dwight Howard coexisting together. That's working out pretty well at the moment. I couldn't see that being something that would continue to be a great pairing or couldn't even see it evolving into a great pairing. But it has, and I thought with the injury to Donatas Motiejunas, Jones is going to get every chance to play 30 minutes. His only other threat was Montrezl Harrell, and he was a rookie, a second rounder, who really was not going to threaten too much. But whenever an opportunity comes for Jones to be replaced, the Rockets want to go that direction, and he's not a good player. I don't believe in him really at all. So I'm not looking to go and if someone dropped him, I'm not looking to add him in 12-team leagues. If I've got him in a 10-team league, forget about it. He's done. In a 12-team league, he's pretty close. He's done to me in a 12-team league. I'm happy. Look, and again, I always frame it this way, is that he's droppable, but you're only dropping him if you're adding someone. You're not just going and dropping him and going, you know what, Terrence Jones, that's what I think of you. And if you can't see the video, I just stuck my finger up. And then just leave an empty roster spot, because that's pointless. You've got to have someone to add for him. So if there's no one that really appeals to you and you've got pretty thin waiver wire, don't just drop him and then go and add Steve Blake or someone just crap like that. Don't do something like that. But in a 12-team league, you should be able to have someone better who's available. In a 14-team league, it gets a little bit iffy because we know that Jones has a really intriguing potential. But with Capella playing well, with Jones playing terrible, and with Motiejunas hopefully on the way back in the next few weeks, how does Jones get back into it? It's going to be difficult for me to see that. So I am okay with him being moved on from in most standard sort of formats. He has not been good. He again, he's just not a good player. I'll stress that again. And that's why I have limited confidence in him, fighting back and taking the jobs. He's not good. He's just not a good player. He's a decent to below average player in the NBA. And on a team that is struggling, if you're no good, they're going to try something else. If you're not a guy who can demand to retain a position, they're going to go with someone else, and they're going to go with another option at that spot. And Clint Capella's working out really well for the Houston Rockets. So that's what's happening there. And what I alluded to at the start of the program is the thought process of what you do with Terrence Jones. And it goes back to the discussion we had on Michael Carter-Williams yesterday. So Carter-Williams got moved to the bench. He was horrible in his first game. And he's not a great player either. But he moved to the bench. And in the second game off the bench, fantastic. A top 10 player of the day. Yeah, awesome numbers, fantastic. And you go, hang on, what happened there? So that's why when someone gets demoted and then has a bad game off the bench, I'll just go, let's hang on a sec. And let's just see exactly what happens here. Yeah, Terrence Jones got demoted. I gave him 2 or 3 games and he's getting worse. And I go, well, then that's fine. Move on. Carter Williams had a bad game in his first game off the bench. Balled out in the second game. And you look at the guy ahead of him, Jared Bayless. He's been around the league a fair bit. He's not the guy who's going to lock down that position easily. Maybe Carter Williams plays 30 minutes off the bench. Maybe he takes a starting job back. So I have held Carter Williams in some positions. I can understand if you dropped him, but that's where it gets a little bit difficult because both guys were top 80 players at the start of the year who were benched. And I think dropping Jones looks in hindsight to be the right decision. Dropping Carter Williams probably wasn't. But again, we're never going to really know because Carter Williams could go out and play 15 minutes in the next game and be absolutely terrible. But that's the difference between... It's not even the difference. It's the two different ways that things can go in fantasy leagues when we need to look at all of these factors and try and work out which way it's going to go. And I don't ever want to make extremely hasty decisions on these players unless there's just someone out there who is just going to put up top 20 numbers all of a sudden and you need to grab them and go, well, fine, do it. But we just need to hold off because you drop Carter Williams, you'd be pissed off today because he put up that massive, massive line and you'd be pretty disappointed that he went out. He's just sitting on the waiver. Now, there's huge chances he goes and stinks the next game, but he wasn't locked into a 15 to 17 minute role, clearly. All right. That's the awards done for the day. Let's now move on and talk about these games in a little bit more detail as we break down these box scores and see exactly what sort of information we can get by doing it. The first game is the game that I've already talked about a fair bit, and that is the Houston Rockets and the Detroit Pistons. The Rockets are terrible. James Harden's still putting up good numbers, 29-9-7 with 2 twos and 2 threes, and Dwight Howard played 31 minutes. It's pretty good for Howard with a back-to-back happening, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks and a steal, a nice night there. Clint Capella, 11-5 with 4 steals. Has to be owned everywhere, but remember the free throw percentage is a concern. So, look, I'm happy with adding him in most places and then sort of see how it shakes out. But just be aware that that is going to be a concern. And speaking of guys rising from the dead, which we weren't, Marcus Thornton is back. 22 minutes for him, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 threes, 2 steals. If you saw just before tip-off in the game, the Houston announcers were talking about how Bickerstaff had said, I like the way Thornton played in the game before. He's going to get more minutes. And he did get more minutes, and he played well in them. Now, does he come in and they go small at times again and limit Jones? Because that's exactly what happened in this game. It's interesting. I'm not adding him in 12-team leagues, definitely. But his value might jump from a 16-team league to a 14-team league. Maybe. Who knows? Ty Lawson, I don't really know what to make of this. Jason Terry's the backup one day. Ty Lawson's the backup the next day. Jason Terry's the backup the next day. Ty Lawson's the backup the next day. He played 19 minutes here, Lawson, 11-3-3 with 3 3-pointers. And that's okay for a 14-team league. We're not looking at adding him in any standard leagues, no chance. But he could go out the next game and not play at all, and that's been the pattern. Don't play 18 minutes, don't play 18 minutes, and Terry with the reverse. You're not owning Terry anywhere, and you're hopefully not owning Lawson in any standard size leagues. Patrick Beverley got the start. Again, 10 points with 2 threes, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, and he has very defined value. 3-pointers, steals, minimal assists. That's about what he gives you. Trevor Ariza stunk, 1 of 9 for him, 2 points and 4 rebounds. And that's really all from the Rocket side of things, I would say. Reggie Jackson, he was really good, and I went into a bit of a spiel, I think it was yesterday's show, talking about how Stan Van Gundy likes to limit his point guards to about 30 to 31 minutes, which he'd been doing to Jackson, but Jackson then went out and played 37. He had 31 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and 3 threes on really good percentages and low turnovers. One of his better games for the season, but is it a Houston Rockets factor? It could be. I'd look for Jackson to come back down to that 31 to 32 minute mark, as Van Gundy has historically done. Ersan Ilyasova had 13 points, Marcus Morris 12, 4, and 6, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played 44 minutes and was putrid. 4 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. He still is a back-end 12-team league guy, though. Spencer Dinwiddie was available, didn't play. We saw more Steve Blake, which again is something I cannot get behind that at all. The Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Celtics, big win for them on the road. Avery Bradley at it again, 25, 2, and 3 with 3 threes and 3 steals. Must-own guy. Jay Crowder got it going again, and he's at some ridiculous differential with what he does on the road and at home. On the road, he gets a stack of steals. At home, not so much. He had another 4 here on the road with 13 points and 5 rebounds. His fantasy value is almost tied exclusively for his ability to get steals. The other numbers are just underwhelming, but he gets steals in bunches and it can be really useful. We saw Brad Stevens run a common sense rotation in that his big men, the starters, played 34 minutes to Jared Sullinger and 33 to Amir Johnson. Amir was great, 13 and 10 with 2 blocks and 2 threes. Sullinger had 17 and 6 and a 3. And if you knew that was coming, you're obviously owning Johnson. You're still owning Sullinger, but you obviously are owning Johnson if that's happening. But the problem is he'll play 18 minutes in the next game or 21 minutes, and it probably limits him to 14 team leagues. Evan Turner was good off the bench, 13 and 6 with 3 steals, but he's been quite variable with his performance with Marcus Smart out. And Isaiah Thomas grabbed 9 assists to go with his 16 points. A very, very odd Brad Stevens rotation with 10 minutes to Olynyk, 14 to David Lee, 10 to Jonas Jerebko, and 5 minutes for Terry Rozier, with guys like RJ Hunter not even seeing the court. So a little bit of a weird one, but the Celtics got the victory and they did need that. Good night from Dwayne Wade, 34 and 4 with 5 steals. Chris Bosh, 20 and 10 with a couple of threes, a steal, and a block. So good all-round performances from those guys. Let's check on Goran Dragic. 34 minutes for Dragic, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. It's not good for Goran Dragic. I think that's probably the kindest way of saying it. In a 10-team league, I don't think you have to own him, to be honest. And it's odd for a guy getting that many minutes that you don't have to own him. In a 12-team league, I'm probably still holding, but Jesus, I'm not buying low on him. I don't want to give up anything outside of my worst player to get him. That's where it's at with him at the moment. There was no Luol Deng, so Gerald Green played 36 minutes. Didn't quite light it up, but still 9-3 with a 3 and a block. At minimum salary in DFS, you're pretty happy with, but you can leave it alone in standard leagues. Tyler Johnson had 10 off the bench, and Hassan Whiteside only played 26 minutes in this game, 6-8 with 3 blocks. Justice Winslow just, much like Goran Dragic, he plays 30 minutes and doesn't do anything. 4 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Not a great overall night from Justice. Remember at the start of the season at the draft where everyone was saying how much of a steal Justice Winslow was? Yes, he's going to be pretty good, but some of the guys that picked ahead of him are clearly outplaying him, like Kristaps Porzingis. The Denver Nuggets and the Milwaukee Bucks. Danilo Gallinari, pretty decent night for him, just contributing all across the board. 13 and 4, 2 threes, a steal, and a block. He's been a little bit up and down, but overall you should be pretty happy with. He's definitely not tearing it up like he was at the end of last season, but he's been pretty solid. Kenneth Faried was back in the starting lineup, but he didn't play big minutes. Some of that is blowout related. They got done by 20 points in this one. Faried played 23 minutes for 11 and 7, and that moved Darrell Arthur back to the bench, and he played 21 minutes for 4 points. He has no standard league value there, obviously. Nikola Jokic retained the starting job. It looks like he's going to retain the starting job. And even when Yusuf Nurkic comes back, there's a chance that Nurkic does not take that starting job away from him. So keep that in mind. Jokic isn't playing big minutes, though. He only played 25 here, went 8-6 with 2 blocks. I'm still holding him in 12-team leagues. In a 10-team league, I probably wouldn't. He's just not doing enough. And when Nurkic comes back, maybe does it put Jokic back to 20 minutes and Lavernier back to 15? And then you get 15 from Nurkic. That seems to be the way that it's going to run, but we don't know that yet. Emmanuel Mudiay played 29 minutes, 10 points and 4 assists. Not a good night from him. And Randy Foy got another start in place of Gary Harris, and he had 5 points with 7 rebounds and a block. Will Barton off the bench, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 2 threes. An okay night. He falls into the Terrence Jones category for me. Don't think he's a good player, but while he gets minutes, he can put up some fantasy-friendly lines. Onto the Bucks. I've talked about Michael Carter-Williams before. He was awesome. This was Philadelphia Michael Carter Williams. 12-6-9 with 3 steals and 3 blocks. Really good percentages. Only 2 turnovers. What does it mean? Who knows? It's Jason Kidd. We don't know what any of this means. And Jared Bayless still got his 33 minutes. Struggled. 7 points and 4 assists with a steal. And if you added him, I'm still holding him because he's getting 30 minutes no matter what. And I could see this being a case where he plays alongside Carter Williams a fair bit. Yeah, General Grievous Vasquez is injured. He'll be back soon, but he hasn't been playing well. Carter Williams, Bayless, and OJ Mayo have been their best 3 guards, and Mayo's only done it in limited time. So I can see them getting a decent chunk of rotational minutes. So if I added Bayless, I'm still holding. Now, OJ Mayo still started, played 31 minutes, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 threes. That's still pretty valuable. That's pushing 12-team league value. I still don't want him in that sort of spot, but if it keeps persisting like this for a week, then you've got to really consider it. Greg Monroe had 18 and 5 with a couple of blocks. Jabari Parker off the bench played 26 minutes, 16 and 4 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. That's his best performance of the season. Still don't think that I want to own him in standard leagues, though. Giannis Antetokounmpo was limited here. He played just 20 minutes, 9 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 block. Not a great night for Giannis. As I said before, he's just been putting up some not ideal lines. Some good ones mixed in, not great ones. When I talked about Stanley Johnson before, I talked about trying to read trends and see what coaches are doing. The trend with John Henson is that he's getting minutes. And for him to get minutes is a big deal playing under Jason Kidd because Jason Kidd hates him. He's never said he hates him, but that's my theory. He hates him. He did something. He slept with his missus. I don't know what he did. But Jason Kidd hates him. But the minutes are coming up. They were from like 10 a game to 16, 17, 18. Played 23 here. 8-7 with 3 blocks. And if John Henson gets 23 minutes a game, you're getting 2 blocks. You're getting 3 blocks. You're getting 8 rebounds. And you're getting good field goal percentage. And that's ownable. But do you trust Jason Kidd? I don't. I don't quite trust him enough. But I'm interested. I'm owning Henson in a 14-team league, no doubt. And I'd dabble on him. I'd have a nibble in a 12-team league and just see what I can get. So we'll see if I can add him. It depends who I've got that's expendable. If I've got Terrence Jones, I might drop him for John Henson if I'm in need of blocks and rebounds. I've got to need those things because he's not going to score enough and he's going to hurt your free throws. But I'm okay looking at it because things are trending in the right direction. They could change in a heartbeat and he goes back to 8 minutes a game. And then when Jason Kidd just goes, no, sorry, mate, not happening. We'll see. It's one of those things that I don't know if we'll ever figure out why the front office gave him a big contract, but the coach hates him. I don't know if we'll ever find out. I don't know what the problem is. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Atlanta Hawks. Big games from Russell Westbrook, 34-11-7, and Kevin Durant, 25-6-6 with 4 blocks and 2 threes, while Serge Ibaka went 17-5 with 4 blocks as well. Big games from the big players for the Thunder. Enes Kanter just keeps doing enough for us to go, do I hold on? Do I hold on? You probably don't, but 16 minutes, 10 boards, 6 rebounds. Oh, sorry, it's 10 boards, 6 points. When you go, well, you played 16 minutes and got 10 boards. That's pretty handy. But the problem is the 16 minutes. And the minutes are so low for him at the moment that it is really hard to hold on. In a 10-team league, I wouldn't be doing it. In a 12-team league, it is really, really borderline. And it depends who is around. Steven Adams in this one only played 14 minutes. So the Thunder went with Serge Ibaka at center quite a bit. They played a little bit of Nick Collison as well. To be honest, it's probably their best lineup. Playing Ibaka at center. I still do like Kanter. I like the Kanter-Ibaka lineup. I don't like Adams and Ibaka playing together. It doesn't make really any sense to me at all. I like Kanter playing with Ibaka, but I think they think that that's too much of a defensive liability to have out there. Adams had 0 points with 2 rebounds and absolutely nothing else. Missed his only field goal attempt and missed both of his free throws. Dion Waiters was also putrid. 0-7 from the field for 1 point. Chipped in with 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals, though. So if you're in those 14-team formats, you're still holding on to Waiters because he did get 31 minutes. Onto the Hawks, big gains from Paul Millsap, 26-11 with 4 blocks and 5 assists. Al Horford went 21-13 with 2 threes and 2 blocks. Yep, another 2 threes for Al Horford. And Jeff Teague really took advantage of the Thunder backcourt, which was something you could have predicted. He only played 31 minutes, and he's pretty much never going to get over that. 25-3-5. The other thing we need to talk about with the Hawks, the wing. Thabo Sefolosha played 39 minutes. A lot of that is Kevin Durant related. It has to be, because 39 minutes is a lot. He had 0 points, and that's very Thabo-like, 0-5, but 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals is really usable in certain situations. We just don't have clarity on what's going to happen with the starting lineup and whether he's going to get 32 minutes a night or 30 minutes a night and what's going to happen with Kent Bazemore. And I'll state it again. Kent Bazemore's not a good basketball player. He was getting minutes at the start of the season and he's putting up fantasy-friendly lines. But he only played 22 minutes here, 7-2 with 2 blocks. I'm still holding Kent Bazemore, but the worry that I had when he was out is magnified now. That I don't think that he becomes back to that guy that he was, because Thabo is getting healthier and Thabo is playing well and he's doing what he needs to do and chiming in as a distributor at sometimes, as a rebounder, as an awesome defender. And he has scored occasionally as well and put up some decent shooting nights. Bazemore's just not that good to come in and go, it's my spot, give me my 30 minutes. He's just not good enough for that. He's a role player at best. Thabo's a role player. So it depends what role they need filled as to who's going to get the minutes. Still hold Bazemore, but let's monitor it because it's trending in a way which I thought might happen. Bazemore played the 22 minutes, 7 points with 2 rebounds and 2 blocks, while Kyle Korver hit 3 threes for 11 points, and Dennis Schroeder has no spot in a 12-team league. He played just 17 minutes, 5 points and 2 assists. He's great if T goes out, of course. He's awesome. But that's it. You're not owning him if Teague is healthy. The next game was the San Antonio Spurs and the Chicago Bulls. Kawhi Leonard again, 40 minutes, 25-8 with 2 steals. A big night from Kawhi. LaMarcus Aldridge, 21-12. And this is a real microcosm of what LaMarcus Aldridge is as a player. 21-12 is good, but 0 assists, 0 threes, 0 steals, 1 block. That's sort of what he does. And that's useful, but it's not that top 20 sort of player that, you know, some people thought that he would be. This is what he does. Danny Green also provided a line that shows you sort of what Danny Green is. 33 minutes, 9 points, hit a 3, had 4 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. And that's more likely. We want him to start getting 2 steals and a block and 2 threes every night. And then he starts returning that really high value that he has. He's never going to be a scorer. He's not going to be an assister. He's going to be a threes, steals, box guy. And this is a step in the right direction. The 33 minutes is also really encouraging. Not that his minutes had been in jeopardy, and his role is definitely not in jeopardy. His shot just needs to start falling. Maybe it never does, but I still like Danny Green if you have a need for what he brings. Tim Duncan had 12 rebounds and a block in his 30 minutes. Tony Parker, he's playing exceptional. I thought Parker was done. I thought he was cooked. I thought he was finished. He's not. 13 points and 9 assists in 31 minutes. He has to be owned in 12-team leagues. Manu struggled here. 4 points with 2 assists in 18 minutes. The Bulls, Jimmy Butler played 40 minutes. It's not a good output in 40 minutes, though. 14, 3-3 with a couple of blocks. Pau Gasol had 18 and 13 with 3 blocks, so that's a decent night for him. And Tony Snell back in the starting lineup. 23 minutes for Snell. 11 and 6 with 3 threes. That's probably going to be his best performance of the season. Nikola Mirotic, don't really know why he was limited. 8-5 with 2 threes and 2 assists. And I want to just mention something. This is not calling out the person who tweeted me today. They said, yeah, Mirotic, I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have the tweet in front of me. Mirotic is garbage. Should we drop him now? He's been useless or whatever. He didn't say it in an aggressive way or anything like that. It's like he's been useless lately, can't get minutes. And the reason I want to highlight that is because people think that, obviously. But over the last 2 weeks, Mirotic is averaging 15-7 with 2 threes a game in 28 minutes. And if you think that's useless, then you're playing in a 6-team league. So owners are thinking that. Owners are still going, I'm going to drop Nikola Mirotic because it's in their head that he's been really bad. But he hasn't been. He's been really good. He's been very, very good lately. 15-7 with 2 threes it's not blowing you away. But it's also not this guy's on the verge of getting dropped. So just have a look. Find your Nikola Mirotic owner. Do they believe? Do they not believe? There's big possibilities there as well. So I thought I'd just bring that to you. Not calling out the guy who tweeted me. I just want to use that as a way to gauge some people's opinions on things. Because people don't always look into what's happening with the stats. And they don't always go, you know what? My initial perception was wrong. They'll just go, Mirotic is garbage, he's not playing, he's not getting minutes, when it's actually the opposite. And this game here was the outlier over the last couple of weeks. Now, Joakim Noah had a really good game, 8-11-7. I don't believe it. I don't buy into it. I'm not adding him in 12-team leagues. That's like, 2 years ago, Joakim Noah sort of line. Not getting excited. I'm getting excited that Doug McDermott played 30 minutes, 12 points with a 3 and 3 rebounds. Not enough for me to go and add him anywhere, though. And Derrick Rose was his brutal self, 5 of 17 from the field, 11, 4 and 6. If you're not punting field goals, it's really tough to own Derrick Rose. Hopefully you knew that, though, before you drafted him, because he's killing. He's Kobe Bryant, basically, in that category. And it's really sad for Derrick Rose, because just remember how good he was. And I know there's a lot of things that he has issues with personality-wise, and people dislike him and soft, and a lot of that's bullshit. But it's just sad to see a guy just destroyed by injuries, like just mutilated by injuries. The Warriors, tough game for them, really. Only get up by 3 points, but they got the victory. Steph Curry played 37 minutes here, 26, 6 and 5 with 4 threes and 2 steals. And Klay got it going as well, 25 and 2 with 4 threes and 2 blocks. And that's what Klay Thompson owners want to see. Ian Clark owners would be pretty happy if there's any of you that exist. Four threes for 12 points in just 6 minutes. Festus Ezeli and Andrew Bogut pretty much split the center minutes, 24 to Ezeli and 22 to Bogut, and neither of them are worth it in 12-team formats. Brandon Rush started in place of Harrison Barnes, could not repeat his heroics from the other day with just 3 points in 12 minutes. And Draymond Green had a great counting stat tonight. Looks good on the surface, 29 and 7, but no threes, no steals, no blocks, and then 8 of 21 from the field and 4 of 7 from the line and 5 turnovers. There's a lot of negatives in that line overall for Draymond, but depending on how your team was sitting, you could be happy with it. You could be really pissed with those negatives that he put up there. On the Jazz side of things, Derek Favors went 23 and 10, Gordon Hayward 24, 6 and 4, and he's really starting to get back going again now, which is good. And Rudy Gobert double-doubled with 13 and 11 and a steal and a block. Rodney Hood played through his back issues, which is good. 12 points for him in 34 minutes, and Alec Burks had 19 in his 29 minutes. Trey Burke also played through his back, 4 points, 2 assists, and Hal Neto played 15 minutes, and those guys are not worth owning in 12-team leagues. The Rajon Rondo revenge tour kicked off with a game against the Dallas Mavericks. He plays Boston later in the week. Zaza Pachulia from the Mavericks, another double-double. Not a great overall line, but 13 and 10 with good percentages. He's been a massive a win if you drafted him. You could have got him last pick in many drafts. He's pretty much a machine for double-doubles at the moment, which is such an odd sentence to say, but it's pretty much what he is. There was no JJ Barea in this one, so we saw Devin Harris get more minutes and Ray Felton get more minutes. 25 for Harris, 26 for Felton, and decent lines. 11 points with 2 assists and a steal for Harris. 8, 5, and 7 with 3 steals for Felton. And with tomorrow being the Mavericks playing again and being a back-to-back, and Chandler Parsons maybe going to sit, Ray Felton and Devin Harris, if you're looking to stream someone in, there's some guys I'd be paying attention to. Darren Williams, 10 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 2 threes. That's an okay line from him. And Wes Matthews, 10 and 5 with a couple of threes is good, but it's more encouraging to see Wes Matthews play 36 minutes. Chandler Parsons had 14 points in 24. You just really want these minutes. You need it to push to 28. He just needs to get better. He's going to be good at some point, but maybe the waiting is going to hurt you a lot. Dirk was 13 and 7, and on our nightly Dwight Powell check, he played 12 minutes. JaVale McGee played 10. The Dwight Powell 12-team league relevant version is toast for this season, or at this stage anyway. DeMarcus Cousins was back, 31, 9, and 6, and a block and a 3. This is something to remember with DeMarcus Cousins. Now, this is anecdotal evidence, but whenever he comes back from an injury, his first game back, he's just dominant. And maybe I'm wrong, and I'd have to go back through and look it all up, but I reckon that nearly every time he comes back from an injury, huge numbers. Huge here again. 10 of 10 from the free throw line is fantastic for him. He took 8 three-pointers. 8. And he hit one of them. It's a lot of three-pointers for DeMarcus Cousins. He could have had a massive scoring night. 31-9-6 is a pretty good night. Rudy Gay with 20-7 was decent. And Rajon Rondo, the minutes are starting to come back down now. 30 minutes for him. 21 points is really impressive. 7 of 14 is not. They did hack Rondo a lot. So that is obviously a concern with that free throw percentage. 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. Well, Darren Collison played 28 minutes, 15, 5, and 3. So the minutes are starting to normalize between these two, back from Rondo playing 44. You know, it's coming back to normal. George Karl made yet another change to the starting lineup. This one was just not making sense to me. Look, they got the victory, so who am I? But moving Willie Cauley-Stein in over Kostas Koufos doesn't work for me. 12 minutes for Cauley-Stein. What's the point there? 1 point and 5 rebounds. And Kostas Koufos with his worst performance of the season. 5 boards and 0 points in 12 minutes. The big beneficiary of that was Omri Caspi, who played 33 minutes. I do like that. 10-5 with 2 threes and 3 assists. He's a 14-team must-own, and I don't hate looking at him in a 12-team league, to be honest, because if he's getting 30 minutes, he can be a fantasy valuable player. No doubt about that. The Portland Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Clippers, we saw both star point guards in this game leave the game and not return. Damian Lillard was suffering abdominal pain. 17 minutes for him, 7 points. He is questionable for tomorrow, which would be the first game he's missed in his NBA career if he doesn't play. So CJ McCollum took over. 12 points, 10 assists. Why did I say took over? He had 10 assists. He took the ball over, and he took over Lillard's knack of missing shots. 4 of 15 from the field. Overall, a pretty decent night, and you're happy with him getting 10 assists. But that field goal percentage looks like it's going to hurt even more if Lillard happens to miss. Mo Harkless was good, 15-4 with 2 steals, and Mason Plumlee had 10-13 with a couple of steals too. Ed Davis also double-doubled. El-Farouq Aminu is really disappointing at the moment. He took 15 shots, hit only 3 of them for 7 points, 7 rebounds, and a 3. The defensive stats are not there. That could be, you know, partly to do with the way that Portland's defense is run. And, you know, Damian Lillard's a guy who doesn't get steals as well. So I think there's a bit in that. I think it's a lot to do with the way Terry Stotts runs things. And this drop in steals we're seeing from Aminu might not be something that corrects itself. He was averaging more steals last season in much less minutes. So it might be something that continues. Noel Vonleh continued to start and continued to be not good. He's not a guy that I think is ever going to turn it around. He's young. He could turn around. I don't buy it. Myers Leonard played 18 minutes off the bench, 4-6. I'm still looking at adding him if he is available. The Clippers side of things, Chris Paul lasted 24 minutes before going out with a rib muscle strain. 10 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. We don't know the severity of it. He was struggling with his shot beforehand. He looked to be in a little bit of pain. And obviously, if he goes out, we see Austin Rivers and Jamal Crawford assume most of that additional load. JJ Redick hit 4 threes for 14 points, while Blake went 23-8-6 with a steal and a block. The small forward position continues to be a mess. Luke Marmute played 24 minutes, Lance Stevenson played 17, Wes Johnson played 5, and Paul Pierce played 14, while DeAndre Jordan, they're really nice counting stats, 18-24, a steal, 2 blocks. 12 of 34 from the free throw line is not ideal. If you play in a free throws made league, he's probably line of the night. But 34 free throw attempts, that is just disgusting. And that ruins your free throws for the whole week. But you knew that. And if you don't, and again, to this the guy who was tweeting me about trading DeAndre Jordan in a roto league, I hope you've pulled the trigger, because get rid of him. Because you're going to see your free throws rise. And if you haven't done too much damage already, it's still early enough that you should be able to rise up. But he is just poison from that area. You love the 24 rebounds. You love the 2 blocks. 18 points is pretty solid as well. But you just absolutely hate the way that he is obliterating that stat for a rotisserie league, for a head-to-head league, whatever. We don't care. We know that it's a punt. There's no other way. There's no other way to approach it. All right, that does it for the review of Monday's action. Going to take a quick break now. Then we'll be back to talk about the daily fantasy action for Tuesday. I saw ya. Back, and let's look at these 6 games for Tuesday. And just a quick thing, I love the NBA schedule for this week. There are no crazy heavy days, there are no stupid light days. This is how it should be all the time. 5 to 10 games every day, not this 2 games, 13 games bullshit that happens sometimes. This is the way it should be. This is how I like it. So congratulations to Adam Silver and whoever the schedule maker is over at the NBA. This is the best way to do it. You've heard people talk quality games a lot. This week, basically, every player on your team is able to play every game. You don't have a situation where you need to go, oh, who do I sit? Who do I start? There might be one of those such occasions, maybe due to positional restrictions. But in general, anyone you add at any time can play, and anyone on your team who's currently on there can play. So there's very little this week that is to do with schedule manipulation and quality games and when do the games fall. And I think that's the way it should be. That's the way that I would like it to happen. It's not like this every week, but this is a perfect week for me. And it's great for daily fantasy as well, which we're here to talk about. The first game is a bad game, but a good game. Yeah, I'll say it that way. The Lakers traveling to the Philadelphia 76ers. This is a massive chance for the Sixers to get their first win because the Lakers aren't good and they're traveling to Philadelphia. The Lakers are favored by 1.5. The total is 197.5. Nerlens Noel is questionable with that sore knee. Fantasy-wise, daily fantasy-wise, I like Julius Randle here. He's only at 5,900, so sub 6,000. And opposition power forwards can just put up bonkers numbers against the Sixers. This is a great opportunity for him to have one. He's had a 50-point game this year. Now, I don't think he's going to have a 50-point game here, but everything is lining up for him to go 35-plus. That's the opportunity he has here. D'Angelo Russell's also in a pretty solid situation, 5,100 for him. I like it if he could get 30 minutes. That would be good. You hope that Byron Scott allows him to do that. I do like this situation for him. Jordan Clarkson's been, he's been really good of late. He put up 45 in the last game. He is at 6,100. I think you could do worse than putting Jordan Clarkson out there. It's not the best situation for him. I would rather spend that 1,000 less and get Russell and hope he blows up, but Clarkson's been in pretty good form. Nerlens Noel, he projects out pretty well in this game against a Lakers front court that does allow points, but I don't trust it with the injury, so I'll be leaving him alone. I like Jahlil Okafor, though, at 6,400. I get the feeling that Okafor, so much bad press coming out about him lately, he's going to want to get out there and prove people wrong. That's my theory anyway. So against the Lakers, he can do some damage here. Robert Covington has been awesome, 6,400, been putting up just stupid numbers, averaging 44 points across his last three. I think you almost have to run him out there. And Jeremy Grant's a nice tournament play at 4,800, especially if Nerlens Noel is out. Jeremy Grant is going to get extra run, and he put up almost 30 in the last game, and at 4,800, you're pretty happy with that sort of output. Kobe Bryant's an interesting one. He's at 6,700. It's not terrible. It's not that cheap. It's not that expensive. But he's headed to his old hometown. He's on his retirement tour. You don't really care about percentages in daily fantasy. So could he go out there and put up 18, 5, and 5? That's not too crazy. I'm not loving using Kobe, but there's a little bit to be said about maybe I consider him. Maybe it aligns for him here. Roy Hibbert at 5,200 is also an okay option heading up against the Philadelphia 76ers. Not much else that I think we really need to pay a huge amount of attention to here. Oh no, the other guy, sorry. Isaiah Cannon. 4,400 for Isaiah Cannon. He has been the starter. He's been getting big minutes, averaging 33, 25 points a game. You almost have to run him out against the Lakers as well. No matter what team, he's been putting up his big numbers, and I think this is a pretty solid matchup for him. The Washington Wizards travel to Cleveland. The Cavs are favored by 9.5, so there is a little bit of blowout potential here with how bad the Wizards are, and B, how banged up they are. The total is 202.5. Nene is doubtful with a calf issue. Drew Gooden is doubtful with a calf issue. Gary Neal did not practice at all Monday with his groin issue. So we might have all of these guys out. And the last game that all these players missed, we saw John Wall and Bradley Beal play big minutes. Now, John Wall's at 8,100. He has not been good. He's averaging just 26.8 across his last five. But if he's going to play 30, he played 39 minutes in the last one. If he plays 38 minutes, 39 minutes, do you take a look? I don't hate it. I think that there's something to look at there if all those injuries hold as they are. Same with Brad Beal, who put up 38 in the last game. He's at 7,000. He's in a similar boat. He might get 40 minutes here. You know, the Cavs do shut down opposition shooting guards, but maybe he puts up 35. I don't think that's crazy to think. He can be paid attention to. I love LeBron here. Opposition small forwards have killed the Wizards. 10,100 for him. I think that this would be a big night for him. Jared Dudley at 3,700. He's going to start. He's played 30 in the last two games. at 3,700, minimum salary, 30-minute a night game guy, it's hard not to use him. And another guy who could be the recipient of some big minute boosts with these injuries is Otto Porter at 5,400. The numbers haven't been great for him lately, but maybe those extra minutes here enable him to put up a decent line. Kevin Love at 8,300, I think, is probably a little bit too expensive. He's been averaging 36 in his last three, and that's just not quite enough. Mo Williams' minutes have been under 30 for the last two games. Is that him working himself back from the injury? Is it the fact that Dellavedova is playing a little bit better as well? I don't know, but I don't want to take the risk and find out. And a guy who has been impressive lately is Marcin Gortat. He's played over 31 minutes in the last three, and that's something that's held him back, is the minutes that Randy Whitman's given him. And it's not a good matchup against the Cavs, so I don't think I'd be using him, but he is trending in the right direction. I'll leave Tristan Thompson alone, and I'll definitely leave Timofey Mozgov alone. The Phoenix Suns and the Brooklyn Nets is the next game. The Suns are favored by 3.5. The total is 206 points. I don't think we're going to see Tyson Chandler in this one. It looks like he's going to be missing for at least a little bit of time with that hamstring injury. There's no official word, but he also has no timetable to return. So I think the chances of him playing in this one are very, very slim. Andrea Bargnani is already ruled out for the Brooklyn Nets as well. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson had a stinker in the last game, putting up only 8.8 points. At 4,200, I'm happy to go back with him because he'd put up two or three really strong games before that. Joe Johnson at 5,800 seems like an odd pick, but the Suns do allow opposition guards to go pretty well. So he's an average guy to look at, but I love the two guards in Phoenix here. Brandon Knight at 79 and Eric Bledsoe at 87. I think both of them are in prime position for a pretty decent night. And especially if Vegas thinks the game's going to be close, they could play 38, 40 minutes and put up big, big lines. Jarrett Jack is also solidish, I think, here. At 6,400, there's a little bit of value in him. And if you want to take a punt on someone, Alex Lynn at 3,500. He played 28 minutes in the last game, which was a start in place of Tyson Chandler. He didn't do fantastically, but all he needs to do is give you 20 fantasy points. And he didn't have a block in that last game. He had 18 points in the last game, fantasy points. Throw in a couple of blocks there, and he meets his value pretty comfortably. So there's something to be said for him. Markieff Morris at 5,500 has been struggling lately. It's a contrarian tournament sort of option that no one's going to really own him, but there's a little bit to like there. And TJ Warren's been on fire at 4,400. It's really hard to keep him out of your lineup, averaging 31.9 across the last three. Definitely taking PJ Tucker's minutes is TJ Warren. So he's someone that we can have a look at. Other punt options here is John Lua and Mirza Teletovic, who have sort of been splitting minutes with Chandler out. They're not priced high, 4,000 for Teletovic and 3,700 for John Lua. So both of those guys can be used in tournament situations. While Thad Young at 6,700, the price is creeping up and creeping up. I don't think that it's completely writing him off at this point, but it's getting to that stage where it's going to be a little bit difficult. The Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans here are favorite. Seems odd. 1 point favorite, the Pelicans, 201.5. We are likely going to see the return of Tyreke Evans and of Norris Cole. But Tyreke Evans is going to be on a minutes limit for the next couple of weeks. He's probably going to sit back-to-backs, and he's probably only going to play 20 minutes. I think, and Norris Cole, to me, is the third-string point guard at this point. I still think that we can use Ish Smith here. I still think that Ish Smith can get 30 minutes here, because it is a back-to-back for the Pelicans. So what do they do with Drew? Drew might not play. Drew Holiday might play 13 minutes in both games. And Tyreke Evans may play 20 minutes in one game, 20 in the next, not or none in the next. I think that Ish can still get 30. He won't get 37, which he's averaged over the last three. I think he can get 30, though. 32 I've got him projected at the moment. I think he can meet that. Now, at 6,600, it's probably too expensive to take a risk on. But it's more for standard league guys. Don't drop him. Let's just wait and see how it rolls out, because Cole's not good. Smith's not good either, but Cole's not good. And Evans is going to be eased back, and Holiday's still being eased back. Grizzly side of things, Mike Conley at 7,000 is a real value play. I like Marc Gasol at 7,600 as well. Eric Gordon at 5,600. You'd probably be able to squeeze a little bit more value out of him, although it's probably a bit risky with the return of Evans. And Anthony Davis at 10,800. I do really like him here. Even though it's a hefty price, you can fit some other cheap options around him and hope that he puts up a 50. He's averaging almost 40 minutes a game over the last couple. You give him 39 here, he could put up a pretty big line, I think. Matt Barnes is a sneaky play at 4,300, getting minutes even off the bench with Zebo back. Put up 36 in the last game. I like him at 43. I don't like Zebo. I don't like Jeff Green. I don't like Tony Allen. And I think that probably wraps it up for that one. The Orlando Magic and the Minnesota Timberwolves is up next. The Timberwolves are favored by 2. The total is 202. Ricky Rubio looks like he's going to be back. All signs are pointing to Ricky Rubio being back for this game. We've also heard that before as well. So let's hope, as Ricky Rubio owners, that he is back. I'm not using him in DFS. Zach LaVine at 5,800, do you use him? I think that you still can, because I think that Kevin Martin's been struggling that bad, that LaVine is still a big chance to get 30 minutes, regardless of if Rubio plays. Now, LaVine's value is higher when he plays as a point guard, but Rubio might come back and play 27 minutes and allow LaVine to play the other 21 as a point guard and then play 9 minutes off the ball or whatever he needs to do. So I don't mind Zach LaVine here. Gorgui Dieng's an intriguing one. He's averaging over 30 DFS points in 26 minutes. At 4,500, if they continue to limit Towns, that's a cheap price for Dieng. Now, Karl Anthony Towns is probably still a little bit too expensive, given the way that they have been limiting his minutes of late. And Nemanja Bjelica is strictly a tournament option. He is 3,900, so it's cheap, but he just hasn't been the same guy since coming back from that knee injury. 7,400 for Andrew Wiggins. It's a relatively okay matchup for him, but I don't really love the spot, and I don't love the salary, more to the point. And I don't want to roster Ricky Rubio because I just don't know what we're going to see. Andrew Nicholson at 3,900 put up 28 in the last game. Scott Skiles is giving him 25 minutes across the last three. He's averaging 21 across his last five, and he's not doing massive amounts with them. But if he gives you 20 points, which is a big chance to at 3,900, you're okay with that result. So in a cash game, you can use him to fit in guys like Anthony Davis. The other Magic players, I don't know, Toby Harris, Alfred Payton, Evan Fournier, they're a little bit too up and down for me. Same as Nick Vucevic. I just don't really know what we're going to get, and it's hard to invest that sort of money in them. Victor Oladipo has been really good off the bench. He's still their best player, but 7,500, it's just a little bit too risky for me because it's just too much to put in on him. Too much. The last game of the night is the Dallas Mavericks and the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers are favored by 1.5. The total is 203. Now, Damian Lillard is questionable with his stomach abdominal issue, so we don't know if he's going to play. Obviously, if he doesn't play, then we're going to see a lot more CJ McCollum, and he'd be a guy that you'd have to play everywhere. And the Mavericks, it's a back-to-back. So you'd think Wes Matthews would play, but Chandler Parsons is extremely unlikely to play. With Parsons unlikely to play, as I mentioned before, it's 3,700 for Ray Felton and for Devin Harris. Both of those guys have value. Probably only a tournament option, but I don't hate Ray Felton in a cash game. Averaging 21.6 across his last three. At 3,700, that's enough. And the minutes should still be there for him. You know, he can put up a stinker with the best of them. But there's a little bit to him. Myers Leonard at 4,400, I'd probably leave him alone given the injury situation. Dirk coming off a back-to-back at 65, I don't love that spot there. CJ McCollum, 6,700. Look, that's at his average, which is 30.5, 6,700 is not good. But the Mavericks are allowing some pretty decent points to shooting guards, and he might be in a situation where he has to handle the ball more. I'm okay with running CJ McCollum out there. Mason Plumlee's minutes have been a little bit low lately. You're not really sure why they're limiting him, considering how well he's played. At 6,000, I'm avoiding playing him. And Zaza Pachulia is now priced up to 6,400, so that's making it pretty much impossible to play him. Darren Williams at 6,500, I can get behind that. It's not likely. Portland backcourt is awesome, especially if Lillard has to miss. If Lillard has to miss, then McCollum plays point guard, then we're going to see more Mo Harkless and more Alan Crabb. So they're, you know, one of those guys you might want to look at punting on in a tournament. I do prefer Harkless. He put up 24 in today's game, but it's sort of taking a bit of a stab in the dark as to which one of those guys. They both had their pretty decent moments this season. All right, that is it for those games. Let's put up the daily fantasy plays of the day now. At point guard, Isaiah Cannon at 4,400 against the Lakers. His counterpart, D'Angelo Russell at 5,100 is worth it. And Brandon Knight at 7,900 is also a pretty solid play for the Suns. For the, and I mentioned Ray Felton also is a decent play at 3,700. Devin Harris at shooting guard at 37, J.R. Smith at 5,300, and Eric Bledsoe at 87. Small forwards, we've got Rondé Hollis-Jefferson at 42, looking to bounce back. Robert Covington looking to continue his ridiculous form at 6,400, and LeBron James at 10,100. Power forwards, Jeremy Grant at 4,800. That really sort of only applies if Nerlens Noel happens to be out. Julius Randle at 5,900 and Anthony Davis at 10,800. At center, Alex Len is a fine punt at 35, if with Chandler's out, which is what we assume. Jahlil Okafor at 6,400 and then Marc Gasol at 7,600. That's it, guys. We are done for today's podcast. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes and leaving a review. Same thing on YouTube. And follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Make sure you are checking out hardwoodparoxysm.com and, of course, the one and only basketballmonster.com. That's it. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.